Possible in part by a grant from Birkenstock Concepts by Heel to Toe in downtown Urbana. For over 25 years, offering all sizes and widths of Birkenstocks, from clogs and sandals to work, dress, and sport shoes. Birkenstock Concepts offers repair and modification services and a certified podorthist and orthotist on staff. Today's programming is made possible in part by grants from 10,000 Villages in downtown Champaign and Crossroads Global Handcrafts, 428 North Main in Bloomington, offering ground and whole bean coffee purchased from farmers using internationally recognized fair trade standards.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us this afternoon. They join us on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Listeners, if you have questions about dogs, today's the day to give us a call. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. And we already have a listener ready to go.
Wonderful.
So let's talk with our first caller this afternoon on line one in Urbana. Hi.
Good afternoon. I wondered whether the guests could briefly discuss their experience with dog memory. What's the nature of dog memory? Do they keep grudges? I have a friend who was just shocked that one day dogs who had played together were in a really skin-crunching fight, and the next day they avoided each other, and the day after that they were playing again. Is there some memory lapse, or don't they know how to keep a grudge?
I don't think they keep grudges.
Well, not, some do.
grudge is a human thing.
That's really not a memory problem. That's a... Like, you may not believe this, folks here in the studio, but Robin and I occasionally have words with each other. And let's say
I'm not making any comment.
Unpleasant words. And yet, you know, an hour later or a year later, we make up. The dog can remember. We have dogs, alas, that will fight, and we never get them back together. We have other dogs that will fight. And, 10 minutes later, they're playing again.
Have they made up? Is there a dog ritual for
not that
back
I know.
Together?
Not
That's
that I know.
That's why I ask about memory. If they could approach each other again as though they had never met and just get confident, that would be one thing.
Yeah, unfortunately.
If they know who they are and then they just.
Anytime humans have a disagreement. I was thinking about this today of the people in Bosnia and all those places and. Hating each other because in the 14th century somebody stabled their horses in a church. And I'm going, well, that was 700 years ago. So those people, they're holding on to a grudge that didn't even involve them. That's a long time to carry it. But they don't have no memory of that. What they have is, traditions that are passed on. The dogs don't, as I said, if they fight, why were they fighting? Were they fighting over food? Were they fighting over a girl? Were they fighting over territory? Were they fighting over social position? If it was over food, those fights don't last very long. But again, it's just the individual dogs as to whether you can get them back together again. It's not that they've forgotten the fight. Robin obedience trained a dog when he was 2, and then he went world traveling, and I think we got him back when he was 4 or 5, and he hadn't been worked in obedience. We were walking and we came to a corner and he sat and we didn't even ask him to. So he remembered, to sit in an obedience situation years after he had been trained and not, reminded every day or every so often. So that, I think, is memory. But getting into a fight and making up doesn't involve memory. The dogs remember that they had the fight. And they're a little ginger for a while with each other, but they can make up. But dogs can hold grudges. We got another dog from a breeder when the dog was about 9 months old. And for the rest of her life, every time she saw the breeder, she'd just wag her tail and go nuts and try to kiss her. But there's an early puppy test that we do when the dog is about 7 weeks old, involving a kind of a mild shock to the puppy. We take the puppy, and the tester holds the dog down and doesn't let it get up for 60 seconds. No, 30 seconds. And some puppies struggle, some just lay there. And then the next exercise after that is to see what the puppy does. Now, some puppies are so honked off that they get up and leave. Goodbye. While the person testing is petting them, they just leave. They don't like that person anymore. Some will, after a little while, go, okay, I guess it wasn't so bad, and they'll kiss you. And those are the dogs that are good obedience prospects, because humans are always making mistakes and inadvertently jerking the dog at the wrong time or something. The dog has to be able to forgive, even though they didn't like it. So they can remember. But what you're talking about and what dog memory is, I don't think are the same thing.
Okay. At the risk of pushing a stereotype, are there differences in male and female dogs about getting over a fight?
Vive la difference.
That was the last item. I'll hang up now. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Not in my experience.
Well, you know, I'll have to disagree with you. Because
that
I think,
in my experience, there's
no. No, not with your experience. That I think the females are the ones that, once they have a fight, they're a little more apt to fight again. Two females.
We've had female-female fights and gotten them back together. We've had female-female fights and not been able to get them back together. So I don't think there's generally, you know, but again, you go back to why were they fighting? If they were fighting for social position, those things can't be resolved except by fighting. If they're fighting because one found a bone out in the yard and the other one wanted it, that's pretty quickly resolved. So just that depends. Why they were fighting depends on whether you can get them back together.
Hokie and Tracy would fight over a rawhide and be best of buddies once I took the rawhide away.
Yeah. So, oops, sorry.
What do you say we talk with another listener?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, next we're going to go to Normal, Illinois, line 4. Hi.
Hello, I'm calling for my daughter. She's got a lab puppy about 3 months old. And a little bit of a biting problem when she's gone. They've solved it to a certain extent by getting a cage for when they're gone. Are there any other options? For example, they have a leather couch that the dog is fond of. Is there a spray for anything like that, or are there training methods?
There's definitely a spray for furniture and for hands. It's Bitter Apple, and you can get that at any
pet
supply store. Right. And that helps. There's a cream. They make a cream, too. Put it on an inconspicuous spot on the couch to make certain it doesn't damage the color or hue. But that does work. They don't care for the taste of it.
Most of the time, out of boredom.
Well, when you say biting, what do you mean?
Chewing on furniture when the people are away.
Oh, okay. Not biting the kid.
No. Oh, okay. It's a wonderful little.
Okay.
Chewing's pretty common.
Yeah, I figured. I assumed that. I used to have labs when I was a puppy, or when I was a kid. But I just thought I'd call for her and see if there was anything else. She doesn't like to put it in the cage any more than she has to, and I'd see if there is a spray or anything. So I'll check down at Petco. Appreciate your help.
The other thing you can try is, you know, giving the dog. I assume he has toys, but you can give him.
Oh, yeah, they gave him the toys to chew on.
Mm-hmm. And if they don't have them, get the toys that you can put peanut butter or cheese or things inside, and then the dog spends his happy hours trying
busy.
To get it out.
Yeah, actually, and to go one step further, this is what I did with him. I'd have a couple of bones, and one was in the freezer while the other one was being devoured. And then when I'd leave, I'd give him the one that was filled with peanut butter that had been in the freezer. Peanut butter doesn't freeze solid, but it gives it a little longer shelf life.
You can
life.
Get those type of things at Petco also?
Yeah, it's a hollow, sterilized bone.
Well, that's wonderful news. I'm gonna give her to that, and I hope she's happy.
but remember, to a dog, a leather couch is just a big chew toy, because everything else is made of leather.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your help.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's talk with another listener caller in Champaign on line two. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yes, I would like to protest about your bigoted, racist, and ignorant comment about the Bosnians. You owe an apology to every Bosnian member of this community for your comments. And I also think the WILL was a formal apology for putting on a bigot, a racist, and an ignoramus against the poor Bosnians, 250,000 of whom were exterminated, 20,000 women were raped, three-quarters of the country was destroyed. Personally, I think this guy should be thrown off the radio right now.
I certainly apologize for what I said if it was misleading. I was trying to make a point about holding grudges. I wasn't trying to talk about Bosnians or any group in particular, so I do apologize.
Let's talk with another listener, a caller in Champaign, line three. Hi.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I'm very concerned about our poodle. She's 11, and we just found out right after Christmas that because of her excessive drinking, she was diabetic. And she's stabilized now, and we give her shots. And that's my first question is that when the vet or the vet tech gives her a shot, she just looks away in a pained way. But when we give her a shot at home, you would think that we were killing her. We're giving it at the scruff of the neck. And so my question is that a psychological, are we hurting her?
those shots. I had a golden years ago. I had to give her insulin. And if I'm not mistaken, those are just sub-Q shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she yelps, and it sounds like we've, hurt her terribly. Can dogs do a psycho? But because she dreads it, but she won't do that in front of the vet?
I think the vet probably inhibits her a little bit more.
Okay.
It's a shame that you can't sit down and tell her that you're helping save her life.
Well,
that would make life so much easier all the way around.
It would,
but I think her, okay, here's the same example. I don't like to cut nails. I'll be the first to admit it. I don't like to cut nails because I quicked a dog really bad one time, and that destroyed my confidence in myself. So I don't even try. I had a friend cut Robbie's nails last Sunday. He was fine.
Yeah.
Sat there. No problem. If I were to cut his nails, I wouldn't have been nearly as successful.
Yeah.
Because I think he could sense the fact that, okay, I live with this woman. I know that if I act like a jerk, she is going to stop. That's
okay.
It. So it may be the dog's trying to get, she's protesting, but you get the job done. Having somebody give her a little snack while somebody else gives her the injection might take her mind off of it, too.
Well, I'm also concerned. I haven't done a lot of research, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of information in some of the things I've read. Is there a life expectancy? She is 11. Will diabetes affect that, or can we expect a shorter lifespan? She is old.
You'd have to talk to your vet about that one. Is she a miniature poodle?
Yeah.
They're pretty long-lived. Unfortunately, the dog that I had that was diabetic, that was many years ago, and I think we used pork insulin for her, but she had a number of other underlying chronic problems which did not resolve with the insulin, and she died when she was 8.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't the diabetes, it was a lot of the other conditions that she had. She'd had heartworm disease.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the 70s, it was like the first case in Cook County, if I'm not mistaken,
mm-hmm.
or one of the first. But your vet could answer that question better, because in the intervening years, I'm certain they've made great advancements in treatment of diabetes in dogs.
Is she prone then to more infections or things because of this?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Let's talk with another listener. Caller in Savoy on line one. Good afternoon.
Thank you. I had a question. My family and I, we recently adopted a dog from the Champaign County. He's 6 months old, and one of the things we're experiencing with him is he bites us in a playful way, I would say, but it's it's been hard to break him of that. He just seems to get excited, and we've been kind of unable to really get a heck of a lot of headway. And I was just wondering if you had any, you know, thoughts about that.
When he bites you, what, under what circumstances?
If I were to come home, like when I come home tonight, he'll be happy to see me, and he'll start chewing, you know, he'll start, you know, it's more like he wants to, he'll start chewing on me, or, you know, on all of us, really.
I'm trying to remember which dog he might have adopted. What was his name when you adopted him? Do you remember?
His name is Brutus.
I don't remember him.
That's been his name. We were a little concerned. He pulled our son down out in the yard, you know, with his teeth, and it didn't break the skin or anything. But
how big is Brutus?
He's a big dog. He's a Shepherd and Labrador mix, and he's 6 months old. So he's big. Yeah, he's big and pretty strong.
Is he neutered? He should be.
Yes. Oh, yeah, he would be.
Yeah, he is.
Did he pull your son down by his clothes? I'm assuming he was wearing a coat out there.
Well, yeah, he's pulled my son around by his coat, but I think he actually pulled him down by his arm because he wasn't having to have his coat on.
How old is your son?
He's 7.
Okay, so he's still little.
Yeah, he's a pretty big 7. I mean,
Some of that behavior is puppy behavior. Uh-huh. They don't, you know, they don't use their paws like hands. They use their mouth to see what's going on in the world. Uh-huh. And he didn't intend to cause any harm. He just wanted to play.
I think it is playful. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm going to guess if it weren't playful, you'd know that by now.
Uh-huh. Right.
I think one of the things you're doing, and probably your son is doing, is you're trying to either pet the dog or manipulate the dog with your hands.
Uh-huh.
And there are two things you can do to at least cut back on this.
Uh-huh.
And one is teach the dog to sit.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he knows how to do that.
Okay, so when you come in the door after coming home uh-huh. and the dog runs up to you, tell him to sit.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And you might have, like, cookies near the door,
uh-huh.
and you can give him the cookie when he comes uh-huh. in and he sits. That, you know, if he's sitting, he can't be biting on you.
Right.
Or jumping.
Uh-huh.
And have your son, I'm only guessing here, but probably he was playing. If the dog started pushing on him, our natural thing is to use our hands as a defense.
Uh-huh.
For the dog, that's like an invitation to play.
Uh-huh.
They see the hands going around, and
they're
very quick, and they can grab your hands faster than you can move them.
Yeah,
The other thing you can do, so if your son would say sit or down
uh-huh.
even,
uh-huh.
And the dog would obey,
uh-huh.
he doesn't have to use his hands to defend himself, and uh-huh. you cut out that that line. The other thing is to keep now you have to watch the dog while you do this so it doesn't get caught anything,
uh-huh.
but keep a short, like, rope, maybe a foot long,
uh-huh.
On the dog's collar. That way you can grab the dog by the rope and collar rather than trying to get your hand close to his neck.
Uh-huh.
Because if you reach to grab the dog by the collar, he's just too quick.
Yeah.
He's going to take that as an invitation to play with your hand, and he's going to do that. Whereas if you can grab the rope that's kind of far away from that,
right.
he wouldn't have that opportunity.
Okay.
But you got to watch out when you're dangling ropes off of collars because if they get caught on something, then the dog's in trouble.
But that is pretty puppy-like behavior, too.
Absolutely,
Like, he does it to get our attention, you know.
Sure.
Like he runs up and nips at us.
And it works.
Yeah, it works. Yeah. We had a spray bottle out for a while. I don't know where we got this idea, but we sprayed him with water every time he would, you know, try to chew on us. You know?
Yeah, and they don't like that. And then you pick up the bottle, and then they don't do those things. But you're not really teaching him not to do that. You're teaching him not to come near you when you got a spray bottle.
They're
pretty smart.
Yeah, he's a clever dog. And he barked at us, you know, like if we spritz him, you know, with the water, he would bark at us.
Mm-hmm.
We think that's about it.
He's asking, what the heck do you think you're doing?
Yeah. Well, yeah,
it could be a play bark. Maybe he enjoys it. You don't know.
Yeah, we've had other dogs. I mean, this isn't our first one, but he's pretty, you know, he's stubborn about that so far. I mean, he's been with us a short time.
Yeah, well, just bear in mind he's only 6 months old,
yeah.
too. And you know what?
Yeah.
You'd have a real good time if you signed up for some obedience classes.
Well, I think, yeah, I think, yeah, we are going to do that.
I mean, it is
you guys
are
going to talk about times and place and so forth on that?
You know, you might be better served to go to our website.
Okay.
Because neither Jim nor I know we have so many classes that
okay.
we couldn't possibly remember them all.
Oh, okay. And what's your website?
I think it's www.prairienet.org.dtccu.
Google. Do Google. We always mess it up.
Yeah. You could say Dog Training Club, Champaign-Urbana in Google, and they'll go right to it.
Okay, that would work fine. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. This is the Afternoon Magazine, and we're talking this afternoon about dogs with trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Listeners, you can join us with a telephone call this afternoon if you've got a question about a dog. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free 800-222-9455. Let's take another call, line 2. Champaign County.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, actually this is line one, I guess, doesn't matter. I have some suggestions for the lady that called with a miniature poodle about
yeah,
diabetes.
Good.
Yeah, I've had diabetic cats for a lot of years, so I've had some experience. I'm not a doctor, but I can just speak from my own personal experience, and she can expect with good care, I think, in all things being equal, maybe without other underlying conditions. If you take good care of a diabetic, they can live many years, and it's just a matter of how good a job you can do controlling mm-hmm. the sugar. The cats I have are 14 and 15, and they've been diabetics for many years. So one of the things she might consider doing is asking her vet, and you would never want to do any of these things without asking the vet, because you can't change types of needles or insulin without knowing exactly what you're doing. So it's a thing to ask the vet. But if she's not using a really small gauge needle, mm-hmm. That could make a real difference. Mm-hmm. I find with the really small animal that I have, and a miniature poodle would be the same way with the thin skin, they do extremely well with the needles. And there's some new needles out there now that are 31 gauge. The bigger the number is, the smaller the needle. So if she has a smaller number, say a 26 or a 29, she has a bigger needle. These little 31-gauge needles are so fine, they're almost like wire. But once you learn how to use them carefully, they go through skin like butter. My cats actually will sit up on the table, get there of their own accord, and wait for me to come with the shot. They don't mind it at all because they associate it with the food they're going to get at the same time.
That's great news.
So you can do that, but again, you have to ask your vet and have to work very closely with the vet on doing that. Another thing you might do is find a good vet tech, if your vet has one, and they can show you how to do this. I would certainly go back to the vet or have the vet tech show you how to give a shot properly,
mm-hmm.
because if you do it exactly right, it shouldn't hurt at all.
You're right.
It should just go under the skin. It should pop right through, and there should be no problem at all. I've never seen, once I really learned how to do it, my cats don't wince. They don't do anything. They just sit there and continue purring. Now, another thing that I would suggest is sometimes this is hard to do. Some vets are not comfortable treating diabetics, and so you need to really be sure your vet is extremely comfortable with diabetics and has done a lot of it. The more experience he or she has, the easier time you'll have, and you need to have somebody you have access to so you can ask questions, because you'll have questions as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, both for cats and for dogs, there are special prescription diets out there, foods that are made by Purina and by Hill's, that are specifically for diabetic dogs. And this can help you with the control and sometimes lessen the amount of insulin you need to give, and you mm-hmm. get better control out of the food. That's something also to ask the vet if that's not something that they had talked about. And again, I think the biggest thing you said a while ago, I've gotten a lot of help and a lot of information, just a lot of background information from the Internet. So using the infamous Google, if you just put in canine diabetes, you'll see lots and lots of references. And you can read on it, try to wade through it and be sure that they're responsible places you're looking at. But
mm-hmm.
it'll certainly give you more ideas. And you can do this, and you can take care of them. I would encourage her to do it, because if you get decent control, and from what I've read, dogs are easier than cats. So perhaps she could have good luck just doing a little more refining of technique and talking closer with the vet, and I think she can do it.
Oh, can I ask you a question? Because I find this very interesting. How do you test for the blood sugar?
They tend not to do that as much with cats, just because it is difficult. Some people learn to prick ears, but that's not terribly easy. One of the things they're getting away from in cats is they're so refractive to doing the blood sugar curves, you know, and having blood draws. So when the vets do that, they draw it right out of a vein. But they find that those aren't necessarily working very well because sometimes the cat particularly is so stressed out when they do it that you don't get a reliable reading. So I actually don't do that. What we do in a cat is regular fructosamine tests, which is a blood level of an enzyme that shows how the sugar has been being controlled in a look-back fashion over a period of weeks. It's resuming, but I don't know this. They may have a similar test for dogs. But dogs might be easier to pull a blood sample, but I've never done that.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
I think a good point, when we give, especially puppies, but even adults, shots, we not only give them food, sometimes, what was that? Sometimes we actually give them their dinner, and while they're chomping on their dinner, they're not paying a lot of attention. We give them a shot without too much protest.
We have a special guest in the studio this afternoon. You might be hearing him. It's a
Robbie.
Carol's dog, Robbie. Beautiful.
He's being very good,
he
too.
He is being a very nice dog.
Yeah.
But he just he wanted to see what was going on here on the tabletop.
Now there. They can hear him.
let's take another call. Listener in Urbana, line 3. Hi.
Hello. I actually wanted to give a human perspective for the diabetic dog. Those shots, even though they're sub-Q and the needles are tiny, they can hurt, especially if they end up going in the same place over and over and over.
That's true.
You get bruising, and you probably can't even see that under the fur. So one thing I would suggest is possibly trying to alter the location of the shot slightly, you know, and kind of rotate it around, because that makes a difference. And even with the small needles, because I was looking at my needles when the previous caller was calling, I use 31 gauge, but they can hurt. There's just sometimes when it's like, oh my, that just really stings. And I know there's things that you can do to numb the skin. I'm not sure how well that would work with a pet, you know, because you can use ice and then there's chemical sprays. I don't really know that the caller would want to be doing that, but that is a possibility. But definitely move to the lower gauge or the higher gauge, which is smaller needle, if possible. And I would really suggest moving the site around a little bit because that makes a huge difference.
That makes a lot of sense, too.
So anyway, I feel kind of silly calling because I have no experience with pets.
Oh, no.
I thought I would mention that.
That's very valuable. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Next, we talk with a listener in the Chicago area. Line 4. Hi.
Hi. I have a different question. I have a cat, and I would like to get a dog. Also, this cat is very attached to me. It's about 2 years old, and it constantly has to be with me, and it whines all the time. And I'm wondering what kind of dog would be the best so that this cat didn't get totally neurotic, which is partly neurotic right now.
Did you say 2 years old?
Yes.
A cat?
Okay. It's not a kitten anymore.
Well, what about another cat? Cats get along really well with one another.
I guess I've always wanted to. Well, I did have a dog previously, and it died. So that's my choice would be to get a dog. But I don't know if that's the best thing for the cat.
I think your best bet is to get a puppy. The breed doesn't matter too much. Probably not a herding breed like a collie or border collie or something like that. But more important is to get a puppy. Our attitude with cats and dogs is you get a puppy, let it go by the cat. The cat's going to whap the puppy on the nose to establish dominance. And the dogs are such that they'll grow up their whole lives. They'll be 30 times bigger than the cat, but they'll still think the cat's tougher than they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll tend to leave the cat alone.
Mm-hmm.
Or become friends with it. But if you get an adult, and I hate to say this because there's so many adults that need homes, but if you get an adult, you want to make sure from the giddy up whether it's going to chase cats or not, because most dogs do chase cats.
Because this cat will just go and hide if it's chased, I know.
And expect that to happen whether you introduce another cat or dog. This cat's going to be incognito for a while. Mm-hmm. Maybe a couple hours, maybe a couple days, but if you go to, you're in the Chicago area, but I know at our shelter here, we're often able to tell if a dog comes in that has lived with other cats, that it's good with cats. So, you know, if you're not inclined to go for a puppy and you want an older dog, you can check your area shelters and they should be able to give you a good idea whether or not the dog is good with cats. Because it doesn't matter so much if your cat is good with the dog. You want the dog to be good with the cat.
Right. And do you have any suggestions with the cat whines all the time, crying and wanting my attention? I try to give it attention. Maybe I give it too much. I play with it, and it just wants constant. It's constantly crying.
I think you're right. It more than likely, this cat would like to have another companion. Cats do really well with another cat.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. This is the Afternoon Magazine, and our guests this afternoon, dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Also, Robbie.
Now you're stuck petting Robbie.
The Golden is with us in the studio as well, Carol's dog, Robbie. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area if you've got a question about your companion animal, and Carol and Jim will do their best to help you out. Anywhere else, let's back up. Anywhere else, 800-222-9455. Paying too much attention here.
After all these years, Robbie, I've never heard her mess up that telephone number.
Let's talk with another listener, a caller in Urbana, line one. Hi.
Hi. I have a Pembroke West Corgi who has a CD, and we have had some problems with the dumbbell, because I would like to try them in open. And I'm wondering if you have any advice.
I'll let Jim do this one because, you know what?
I'm teaching open right now.
Oh, yay.
What kind of problem are you having?
He's clicker trained, so he'll pick it up, drop it, pick it up. Like, he won't. I guess it's getting him to hold it for a protracted amount of time now.
Dumbbell problems that you are kind of up close and personal. It's kind of – now, I don't clicker train. I have – watched a video on how to clicker train.
Yeah.
I've been near people that were clicker training, but I don't know how to do it myself, and so I won't step on that. But what you want to do, and I'm having exactly the same problem with my dog, who isn't clicker trained, and he'll go fetch it, bring it back, and then drop it.
Right.
The problem when they do that is that they, once they've dropped it, they tend to think that's part of the exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what you do to correct it, their thought is, I go get it, I come back, I drop it, he picks it up and puts it back in my mouth. That's the exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So what you want to do is start, go way back to the very beginning, just sitting in front of the dog, and if you use the clicker, that's fine, but getting it to take it out of your hand and hold it.
Okay.
No throwing it or anything like that. You want to get the dog kind of retrained that holding it is the correct thing to do. And the way we tend to do it is one hand, you hand the dog the what is it?
The dumbbell.
Dumbbell, thank you. And the other hand is kind of gently under, holding their mouth closed, say.
Right.
And you're saying words like hold it or whatever you want to use. Hold it, hold it. And then you take it out, good dog, and food or click.
Mm-hmm.
That's how far back you're going to have to go, like to the very, very beginning. So the dog doesn't think that dropping it is okay or is part of the exercise.
Right.
You know what I would do too, thinking about this? I would make that a separate part of the exercise so she can click after he's held it for the amount of time that you determine is long enough. So you have the picking up as separate, holding it as separate, releasing it as separate.
No, I'm not talking about picking it up. I'm talking about taking it.
In her case, because she, I see what you're saying.
No.
Because he's clicker trained to pick it up, and then he drops it. But holding would be separate.
Yeah, The problem isn't picking it up.
Right.
The problem is he's not holding it.
Right.
So that's the part you want to go back on. Once the dog will hold it, then you start putting the various parts back together.
Okay. Okay.
Isn't it called chaining?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Chaining.
Right.
Usually you chain backwards.
Chain backwards.
I was going to say back chain.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's talk with another listener. Line 2, a caller on a cell phone. Hi.
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 Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Okay. I have a 5-year-old golden retriever. She's well behaved. She's a family dog. She's been around a lot of kids. But when anybody comes to the door, whether it's somebody she knows or a new person, she just acts like such a goofball. She just is too excited. She won't stay down. And she's almost 100 pounds. So she's a big girl. And we've tried ignoring her. We've tried really stern scolding and making her go down to the basement, basically. But
I'm assuming she's very happy that people are at the door.
She's a happy dog all the time.
Okay. Well, now you're not going to like what I'm going to tell you. But I have the same problem.
Uh-oh.
And let's see. We had a guy come over the other morning to check our furnaces. And he rang the doorbell, and Robbie leaps on the couch, and he sees somebody there, and he's so thrilled, and he grabs the pillows off the couch, so he's got something to greet the guy with when he comes in the door. He
yeah.
doesn't bark. He is ecstatic when people come over. And I'm going to tell you what I did. I learned to live with it. Because I told you you would like my answer.
Yeah,
but
I was hoping for.
Yeah.
I have a better answer, don't worry.
I know, but Jim, I have a better one. But he's just so happy that people come to the door, because from the time he was a puppy, that's what I wanted from him.
Right.
To be happy.
She's not a watchdog. She's a good watchdog.
No, he's a terrible watchdog.
She's a family dog. And she was raised with Cub Scouts, and,
And see, you can get her to sit. Now, I have some neighbors that come over, and I don't think that they would appreciate being knocked down because Robbie's very strong. Mm-hmm. He doesn't jump on people, but he brings things to them.
Yeah.
And these big pillows, he's now got a fondness for carrying around with him. People come to the door, and it's like a gift.
Right. She opens the coat closet. It slides, and she pushes it open and takes the shoes. Right there, and that's what she does. And she looks at you waiting for you to tell her to put it down. She knows she's not supposed to do it. But it's just, to start the game.
Yeah, it's just, Jim will give you his advice in a minute. I can hear him clenching his teeth over here. But to me, if you've got a dog that is so happy, it's so much easier to deal with that problem.
Yeah.
Which is, in essence, to me, a non-problem than to have the opposite where the dog is too.
It's sort of like when your children won't behave. I mean, there are times when she can be playful and all that. But there are times when she really needs to behave. And when somebody mm-hmm. comes to the door, if we tell her to sit, it'd be nice if she would mm-hmm. not, think the whole world is there for her.
Yeah, well, in their mind, it is.
I know that.
Yeah.
Well, behaving is a relative term. And from the dog's point of view, she's not misbehaving. She's just being happy. What Carol is talking about is, gee, you have a happy dog. Why interfere with that? You're saying, gee, I have this huge animal crashing into the storm door and it's going to break. What's setting her off is somebody knocking or ringing the doorbell. All right? That's what starts the behavior.
Sometimes. But she doesn't. If the doorbell rings, she doesn't go nuts. It's when she sees people that she...
Yeah, that's the stimulus to her as the new person.
When she sees them where?
Coming in, or even if, like I said, we have kids, and if kids come to the door and we open it, she wants to get out the door, or she wants them to come in, whatever, but she's just, all over them, with her head, with her nose, just,
Normally, it's the knocking on the door that'll set them off. If it's actually seeing somebody, that's okay. Whatever it is that starts this behavior, we'll call that the trigger, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So knock on the door, dog runs to the door, or somebody comes in, dog runs to them. What you have to do is get a variety of people to help you out, but without changing her happy attitude, what you want to do is change the behavior that follows the trigger. And I'll use knock on the door because it's simple. Dog hears a knock on the door, runs to the door. What you do is get somebody to stand outside knock on the door. You have the dog on a lead, and you lead her into the kitchen, and you may have a mat or something there. Have her sit and give her the most wonderful treat that you've got, or dinner, or liver, or some special toy.
Uh-huh.
And leave her there for a minute. You know, dinner she'll obviously have to eat, but leave her there for a second. Go back and have somebody knock on the door again. She's going to go toward the door. You take her into the kitchen. You'll do that. Golden ought to figure it out fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
She's not going to figure out it immediately. And you just do this several times, maybe five times a day for a week. Slowly, the dog's going to learn that if there's a knock on the door, she goes to the kitchen and something wonderful happens, even more wonderful than getting to greet somebody. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, she's doing exactly the same thing. There's a trigger. The happy behavior occurs, except she's not running at somebody coming in. She's running to the kitchen. And then you can safely, slowly introduce her to the person who's already in.
Ah, no.
Well,
No.
Or to put it differently, they can brace themselves
yes,
for when the dog comes running out of the kitchen.
Because but as soon as she sees there's somebody in the house, she'll...
That's it, right.
Yeah.
Now, but it, you know, at least she's not going to run into the door and interfere with everything when they're coming in.
It really has been a very hard...
But, you know, you can't...
She has been pretty easy to train, and we've done, when we took her to puppy school, and she was, they said ignore her, totally ignore the behavior that you don't like, because, you know, when she gets your attention, good or bad, it's...
Self-reinforcing.
Acknowledging the behavior.
Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of hard to ignore an almost 100-pound dog that's pulling open your guest closet and taking the shoes out. You know, that's kind of testing our patience, but...
And not everybody loves it like we do.
I know that's the problem, but you know what? I don't care. And they don't come to my house.
But I can try that at least.
Well, the point is, if the dog does something you don't like, we tend to say, oh, that's misbehaving. The dog just says, you know, I like to dig in the backyard. That's what dogs do.
Sure.
So if you punish the dog... From the dog's point of view, why are they being punished? What is it that they did that you don't want them to do? They don't necessarily understand.
Mm-hmm.
So if the dog runs to the door and you start, you know, slamming her on the head, she's going, what are you doing this for? Don't you like me anymore?
Yeah.
She's not going to associate what you associate the punishment with the punishment. It's going to be something else. That's why instead of punishing her at all, lead her to somewhere where something pleasant happens.
Okay. That's worth a try.
Everything's worth a try.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'd also say a dog, you know, that weighs 100 pounds probably could stand to lose a couple.
Well, you know, she's pretty lean. She weighs 96. She had a little accident. We were cutting down a Christmas tree, and she took off after a rabbit and really got a pretty severe laceration on her abdomen.
Oh.
And they were surprised when they weighed her, because she's just very muscular. She's pretty lean. She didn't have a whole, you could see how much fat she had when she did it. And
that's how I feel.
they were surprised really that she weighed as much as she did, because she wasn't fat.
Yeah, I was mentioning that Robbie could stand to lose a pound or two here.
Well, you know, I hurt my back, and I can't walk him. And we were at the vet the other day, and he's gained 2.5 pounds, which isn't much for a dog, but it's a lot. I mean, And I thought, oh, if it's showing up this fast on him, how fast is it going to show up on me? So I better get things straightened out here pretty quick.
That's right.
See, he's flabby.
All right. Well, thanks for your help, for your advice. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call this afternoon.
Bye-bye.
And for the listener who called earlier about the cat, she was thinking about adopting a dog to be a companion to the cat. I just wanted to let that caller and our other listeners know that next week I'm going to have back on the program the cat behaviorist.
Good.
Pam Johnson Bennett, who is just a terrific person, and she has so much wisdom when it comes to dealing with cats. So that's next week. I can't remember which day of the week it is. It's not Monday.
Well, that's a trick to get people to tune in every day, huh?
So
at least cat lovers.
There you go.
Oh, so, I'll listen to that. Cats fascinate me.
Yeah, they're
dogs
great.
Are easy compared to cats to figure out what's going on sometimes.
They're all wonderful.
Oh, they are.
All wonderful creatures.
They're beautiful.
The time is up.
And can you believe we'll be here in March?
How about that?
That means spring. Today feels like spring.
Today's a great day. Well, yeah, thanks.
Thank
Good
you.
To see you. Good to see you. Take care.
Bye.
Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs. 9 minutes before 2 o'clock Central Time, settlement prices are in from the Chicago Board of Trade, or they should be. Here's Todd Gleason.
You bet they are, Celeste. From the Chicago Board of Trade on this afternoon, futures finished like this in the bean pit. Kind of an important day there where futures finally managed, and I don't know whether we want to use that term or not, but they finally made it below $5, and they finished the day at $4.99.5 in the nearby March contract. They were off 2.5 cents for the day. We'll get to the complete numbers from the bean pit here momentarily, and don't forget, about 6 after the hour of 2 o'clock Central Time, which is not too darn far away, we'll talk with Mike Zuzulo, Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. We'll discuss that move below $5 for the bean pit today. And then later in that program, we'll hear from Daryl Good and what he feels the marketplace might look like over the next couple of months, along with his predictions for acreage and how that might move through the system for both corn and soybeans. That all coming up during the closing market report today. Starts at 6 after the hour of 2 o'clock Central Time. From the wheat pit at the Board of Trade, now settlement prices are available. The nearby wheat traded to a high price today of $2.87 in the March contract. A high price of $2.91.5. The low was at $2.87, and the settlement price at $2.87.75 was off two for the day. The May futures at $2.99.5 high, low at $2.95. Settlement price $2.96.5. They were off two, and the July futures now $3.06.25. The high, the low at $3.02.25. Settlement price at $3.03.25, down a penny and 3/4 for the July wheat. September futures, $3.10.25 high, low at $3.08.25, settlement price at $3.08.5, and they finished down 2.5 cents. December contract at $3.20.25 high, low at $3.15, settlement price at $3.15¾ down 3.5 cents a bushel for the December wheat. From the corn pit, the nearby March contract, $1.95 high, low at $1.94.5, settled at $1.95, unchanged for the day. The May futures were unchanged as well, with a high of $2.03¼, a low at $2.02¼, and a settlement price at $2.03 a bushel. July futures now in the corn pit, $2.10½, the high, the low at $2.09¾, settled at $2.10¼. They were off 1/4 cent in the September contract for the day. $2.18, the high, the low at $2.17¼, settlement price at $2.17¾, and they finished the September's down 1/4 for the day. The December contract, $2.28, the high, low at $2.27, settled $2.27½, down a half, and the March for next year, 2006, that is, $2.35½, the high, the low at $2.34½, and 2006 corn settled $2.34¾ for the March contract. They were off 3/4 today. March oats on the day, $1.63½, the high, the low at $1.60¾, settlement price at $1.61¾, down a penny and a half, and the May futures, 1½ lower, $1.56, the high, the low at $1.54½, and a settlement price at $1.54¾. They finished down a penny and a quarter. Of course, there's been several people rooting for beans to go below $5 because they made money if that was the case, and here's the settlement prices from the March soybeans. They managed that today. $5.02 on the high, the low at $4.98½, settlement price at $4.99½, and they were off 2.5 cents for the day. May futures down, $5.04 the high, the low at $5.01, settled $5.02¼, off 2 cents. And July futures, $5.10 the high, low at $5.06, a settlement price at $5.07 a bushel, down 2¾. August soybeans, $5.13½ the high, the low at $5.09, settled $5.10¼, down 2¾. And the September futures, $5.16 the high, the low at $5.12¼, settled $5.12¼, down 3 cents for the day. November futures, $5.24½ the high, the low at $5.20, settled $5.20¾. They were off 3. In the January futures, $5.28½ the high, the low at $5.26, settled down on that low at $5.26 for the January 2006 soybeans, and they finished the day 3 cents lower as well. March bean meal at the Board of Trade, $150.50 the high, the low at $148.70, settlement price at $148.80. They were off $1.90. May bean meal at $151.40 high, the low at $150 even, settled $150.10, and they were down $140. March bean oil futures, 1910 the high, the low at 1882, settled 1904. They were up 18 cents for the day, and the May bean oil finished like this, 1925 the high, the low at 1902. Settlement price for the May bean oil at the Chicago Board of Trade, $19.23, up 15. Now here's Celeste Quinn with the numbers from the Mercantile Exchange.
And it was a lower day today for livestock prices. Feeder cattle, March feeders, $100.35 the high, the low 99.20, finishing at 99.27 and a half, down 52 and a half. April, 99.85, the high, 98.80, the low, 98.97 and a half, the settlement, that down 57 and a half. May, 99.15, the high, 98.30, the low, the settlement, 98.50, that down 47 and a half. February, live cattle, 91.50, the high, 90.72 and a half, the low, the settlement, 90.92 and a half, that down 7 and a half. April live cattle, 88.65, the high, 87.82 and a half, the low, the settlement, 88.17 and a half, that off 7 and a half. February lean hog, 72.20, the high, 70.60, the low, 70.85, the settlement, that down 90. April 74 even, the high, 72.55, the low, 73 even, the settlement, that down 20. May 74.80, the high, 73.80, the low, 74.40, the settlement, that up a nickel. And June lean hog, 77 even, the high, 75.92 and a half, the low, the settlement, 76.35, that down 40 cents. And February bellies, the high today, 89.45, the low, 87.50, the settlement, 88.10, that up 17 and a half. The Dow is up 78 points at 10,671, the NASDAQ up 18 at 2076, and the S&P 500 up 7 points at 1197.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety is proud to underwrite agricultural programming on WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
It's time once again to Ask Dr. Science. So let's ask Dr. Science.
That's me.
Remember, he knows more than you do.
That's right.
Jimbo Homan from Pittsburgh, PA, wants to know, Dear Dr. Science, how come if a dog is wagging its tail at the same time music is playing, the tail is never wagging in time with the music? Have dogs no sense of rhythm?
On the contrary, dogs are the timekeepers of the animal kingdom, with gerbils running a close second. What you see as a random tail twitching is actually a complicated syncopation in an unusual time signature, which would cause even the most proficient salsa drummer to throw away his congas and go into retail. Often a dog will wag his rump on the upbeat and his tail on the downbeat. This is akin to rubbing your stomach, patting your head, chewing gum, and keeping a hula hoop spinning all at the same time.
Thank you, Dr. Science. Send your science questions to...